Good morning, everyone. Well, I feel much better this week than I did last week, I have to say. However, I hope that I have just enough puff in me to not have to have an intermission in the middle of the sermon. We'll see how we go. Just before we get going, though, Colin did ask me to pass on his thanks to the team of people who were involved in yesterday's celebration of Linda and his mum. And he greatly appreciated that. So his comment to me was that it's wonderful that in the good times and in the hard times, family gets together. And so thank you to that team. All right, so I have a bit of a tradition. Every Christmas, I have a set of movies that I have to watch in time for Christmas Day, because I cannot do Christmas Day until I have watched those movies. It's part of me getting ready for it. One of those movies is this one. It's The Muppets Christmas Carol. Do you know it? I love it. I have watched it year after year after year. And it's based on Dickens' story of the Christmas Carol, obviously, where Scrooge is visited by three ghosts, the ghosts of Christmas past, of Christmas present, and Christmas future. And it's in seeing things that they show him that changes take place inside him. So Scrooge is shown things about himself that he wouldn't normally get to see, because they happened where he was not. He saw what people said in his absence. He saw how people reacted to his death and what happened in their lives that he had no idea about, and so treated them differently. In particular, he got to step into the future and look through the window of his employee's home. And he saw them grieving the loss of little Timmy, a young boy who died. And seeing that, seeing all of these things, changed something inside him. You see, Scrooge was changed from being self-centered, a grumpy old man, and he became generous, and he enjoyed people's company, and he loved to celebrate Christmas, which raises the question for you. What if you could look through the window and see something that changes how you live for the rest of your life? That's what the book of Revelation does. It pulls back the blinds and lets us look through the window to see things that we wouldn't normally get to see. So the question is, what does that do inside of you? How will it change you and your life? You see, Scrooge was meant to be changed by what he sees. Are you going to be changed by what you see? Because you're meant to be. You need to change. You're not meant to look at life the same. You're not meant to have the same priorities, the same attitudes once you see this. That's why God showed it to John and told him to write it down. You see, this is the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. See, God's not the disconnected old man that the world makes him out to be. He's compassionate. He's loving and kind. He gave this revelation to Jesus, the first representative of the human race to stand in heaven, and who also is fully God himself. Just as Scrooge was shown by the ghosts of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future, things that he wouldn't get to see, God gave to Jesus to give to John, telling him to write it down for you to see it too. When Jesus was talking to his disciples about the end of the world, he said that no one, not the angels, not even he, knew the exact hour of that final day. Only the Father knows. And this is an old Jewish tradition, a wedding tradition, where the bride and the groom were kept apart until the father came to the groom and said, "Now's the time, son. Go and fetch your bride." And that could often happen in the middle of the night. But the father did give this to the son, who has given it to us. And reading it is intended to change us. That's the blessing. It's not there to warn us to get out of town before things get bad. It's not there so that we can work out what hour he's coming back. It's there so that we can look in the window and see things that will change us and give us confidence in God. Blessed are those who hear and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. So here's the first thing that we're being shown. This comes personally addressed from the King of Eternity. If you've ever wondered what's there after we die, this comes straight from that place. It comes from Yahweh, the eternal God who created heaven and earth, the one who's been in covenantal relationship with Israel since he stopped by to see Abraham. And he says, "Hi." Well, he used the words grace and peace to you, but that's just a fancy way of saying hi. And Jesus sends his best too. Wouldn't that have been a wonderful thing for John to hear? Known as the disciple whom Jesus loved, who saw him crucified, who talked with him after he was raised to life, and who was there watching when Jesus ascended into heaven. Jesus, John's best friend and teacher, his Lord and Savior, was speaking to John again, dictating letters for John to send to the churches. That Jesus, who right now is standing next to him who is and who was and who is to come. How cool is that? You could not ask for anyone better to let you look through this window. You see, Jesus came to earth to reveal the Father. He preached about the kingdom of heaven. It was his testimony the disciples had believed. And John was sitting on the island of Patmos because he wouldn't walk away from that. And Jesus is showing John something that he'd never seen before. "See, told ya. I told you everything was real. I told you what it was like. I am the faithful witness. Everything is exactly as I told you. Heaven, hell, the angels, all of it is real." What the Father showed the prophet Daniel, you know that was all true. Jesus used a quote from Daniel 7. To remind John, look, he's coming with the clouds. The one that Daniel saw in his vision, that was me. And remember what was written in Zechariah 12. All the peoples of earth will mourn because of him. Zechariah wrote that God would destroy all of Israel's enemies, that he'd send them reeling. That was also me too, John. It was me. In fact, Jesus used both those same quotes when he was warning John and the rest of the disciples about the destruction of the temple in Matthew 24. And trusting Jesus in that moment and obeying the things that he told them to do saved a lot of people on that day. Truly, what Jesus says can be trusted and believed. He is the faithful witness. And he is the firstborn from among the dead. John witnessed his resurrection himself. When Jesus died, he had descended to the gates of hell. Jesus doesn't just know what heaven is like and what earth is like. He's seen hell as well. And he's the first one of the new humanity that will emerge from their graves like butterflies from their cocoons with resurrected bodies. He's experienced what your new experience of life will be like when you finally go skipping down the road full of life. He knows all of it. And so he can say with all authority that it is real. And he's the King of Kings. God defeated Pharaoh when he wouldn't let his people go. Even the greatest king of Israel has ever known, David, called him Lord. The demons feared and obeyed him. Even the wind and the waves obeyed him when he told them to be still. And so the one showing John all these things is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is, who was, and who is to come. He is the Almighty. So, any questions? Everything we see through this window comes straight from the top. Everything is true. No fake news, no scams, no hidden credentials. No hidden messages. You can trust what Jesus says. Just look at his credentials. And so nothing in John's revelation is a problem to God. And reading that is a blessing. Because when this all takes place, God's people will be safe and provided for by God. We need to remember that. We need to remember what God is like when we read the rest of it. You see, unlike Scrooge, whose future depended on him and the choices that he made, your future is safe in God's hands. You are safe no matter what comes, because you're protected by the one who is, who was, and who is to come. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. God hasn't changed. He's still the same. God's love for his people hasn't changed. He's still the same God. God's expectations haven't changed. He still wants you to trust him and obey him. He's still the same God. So this is the first thing that we're shown as we look through the window. Be still and know that he is God. God always has, always will, and even now loves and protects his church. But look through the window again. There's something more to see. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. When I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. The things that John saw and described match with what the prophet Daniel saw when he was shown through the window 600 years before this. It's hard to get our heads around how Daniel could see the Son of Man, the same Son of Man that John saw, 600 years before Jesus was even born, until we remember that what both he and John were looking at is in the eternal realm, outside of created time. It's in the eternal heavenly realm. Both Daniel's and John's visions support each other. But what John focuses on is the vision of Jesus standing amongst seven golden lampstands with seven stars in his hand. And we know what these symbols mean because we're told. You see, apocalyptic writing as a genre of Greek literature has specific features just like Greek fables do and poetry does. It has characteristics. Writings that fit into this genre use a lot of symbolism. They write about the end of the world and try to describe things that are supernatural. John's just given us the first use of symbolism in the lamps and the stars. But why seven? Because seven is the number of completion. Creation happened and was completed in 7 days. The word, the Hebrew word for the number seven, Shiva, is the word used for a covenant between God and humanity because God's covenants are complete and final. And so the letters to the seven churches. You see, Jesus is not just writing to seven churches because they are the only churches he cared about. They're representative of all churches. The issues highlighted apply to every church, not just then, but also today. Every church needs to hear and take to heart what's written, even more so today because the time is getting nearer. The vision of the Son of Man walking amongst the seven lampstands means that whatever's happening there applies to all churches, every one. And people in John's day would have known exactly what was happening there because this was a scene that they were very used to. They saw it every time they went to the temple. The priests in the temple performed sacrificial offerings on behalf of the people, but they did more than that in between. They gave blessings and intercessory prayers over the people. They prayed for mercy and reassured the people of God's compassionate response in return. They taught the people to understand the Torah and apply it to their lives. They kept the altar fires burning. And they cleaned the building. The high priest also managed the temple finances, all the things that go into making a temple function. What John saw is the Son of Man performing the role of the priest. He keeps the churches alight. He intercedes on their behalf and pronounces blessings over them to reassure them that God hears them and he sees them. He provides gifted people to equip the saints for ministry, to build them up in the faith and to bring them to maturity. He teaches them by his Spirit to understand all that he has taught the apostles and how to apply it to our lives. And so having been shown the powerful protection that we have in Jesus, we now see what he's doing for us right now. We're shown this because we need to know that every church belongs to Jesus, our great high priest. The church is meant to be reassured and sustained by seeing this. It's meant to, the church will always live because we're protected and we're provided for by the Son of Man. The Son of Man is the great judge of eternity, the ruler over all the kings of earth, and the authority to whom every knee will bow. But the picture is also matched with the intercession of the great high priest who constantly mediates on our behalf. And therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You need to see this. Look at it. Jesus, right now, intercedes on our behalf. He always has, and he always will. Seeing this is meant to help us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. Jesus is the judge we're all going to stand before, but he's also the one who came to earth, who walked our streets, who ate with us. He knows us and he loves us. He knows what it's like to be us. And seeing that is meant to give us confidence in our relationship with him. Jesus is on the job. He's doing what a priest does for the people, hearing our prayers and speaking blessings from God over us. Seeing this has to change the way we live. It has to change the way we think about everything else that's written in Revelation. This calls for patient endurance on the part of the people of God, who keep his commands and remain faithful to Jesus. Endurance that stands on the protection that we have in Jesus. Patience that rests in what the great high priest is doing for us today, tomorrow, and every day after that. So having looked through the window, what have we seen? We've been reminded of the past, all the times that God has proven that he is the great I am who protects and provides for his people. I am is with you. We've been given a glimpse of the future, not to scare us, but to remind us that just as he has in the past, he will in the future keep protecting and providing for his people, no matter what comes. And we've been shown what's going on right now in places that we can't yet see, where Jesus stands as our great high priest, doing and giving all that's needed to nurture his church. The question is, how will this change the way you live? Scrooge was meant to be changed by what he was shown, and so are we. How will you live from this day on? Regardless of what happens in the world, we are called to worship God with everything we have, to make every day about Him. And we've been shown really good reasons to motivate us to actively spend time in relationship with Jesus because of who He is. We're called to endure, not out of stoicism or anything like that, but out of trust that comes from knowing that God loves you. Hardships aren't His way of making you prove how much you love Him. They prove how much He loves you. They prove this. They bring us to the place where we have to rely on Him. And God's never been anything but faithful, generation after generation. He's not going to change right at the end of the story. We can face anything by trusting in the God who is, who always has, and who always will be the priest to His people. And so right now, in the present, we're called to trust Him with the things that we can't change, and to do what we know we're meant to do. It's the command He gave us, the job that He left for us to do while He's away. And that is to make more followers of Jesus, baptizing them and teaching them all that He's taught us. In the language of Mundaring Church of Christ, we are called to connect people to God and to each other. And we must stay focused on this by trusting God to provide everything that we need to do that job. Don't worry about the future. Spend your energy on getting to know the God who gave His life for you to protect you from death and to give you eternal life. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, what a magnificent thing it is to be given a glimpse of who You are, where You are, and the things that You know. Thank You, Father, for keeping the things that are hidden, hidden. Help us to trust You with them. Help us to lean on You. Help us to follow You one day at a time without needing to know all of the picture. Help us to grow in our faith in You. In Jesus' name, amen.